For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. May God bless the reading of this passage. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our wonderful counselor, the head of our church. Through your Son's sacrifice, we are saved. I pray that this year's theme, deep change from the inside out, will be embraced by this church. I pray for the spiritual renewal of the church and its individual members, so that we will all draw closer to God, building and strengthening our bonds with one another. Mold us and teach us your will so that we will live fruitful lives. I pray for the children in our congregation to grow and seek you as they learn from the childminding lessons. And finally, I pray for Pastor Paul's sermon today. I pray for guidance and as well as for you to influence our hearts with today's message. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Paul.
Good morning, church. Welcome to the very first Sunday worship service of 2015. I trust that you've had a wonderful Christmas and New Year break from school, spending time with your loved ones and doing things that you enjoy most doing. Even I attended the winter conference. Some of us attended it as well. We were on the Cantonese track side, and the speaker was wonderful. And so over the past week, we had a wonderful spiritual feast. Because of that, at the same time, I found it a bit of a rush to prepare the sermon for this Sunday. See, I'm preaching in all services. And so I ask you to pray for me as I deliver God's message, and may God give me clarity of speech and a clear presentation. Now, as we enter 2015, I want to look back a bit on 2014, especially the last week. Did you guys do any Boxing Week or Boxing Day shopping? Some of you did, huh? You didn't? Well, people like to take advantage or, you know, make use of the big discount that the stores offer, right? They want to buy electronic goods or whatever they want to get. Now, some people want to buy clothes too, right? Because clothes are on sale as well. They want to buy new clothes for work or for school or whatever. But now you guys are growing up in a Chinese family, and so you know the custom of a Chinese family. Chinese don't usually buy new clothes at this time of the year, right? So when do we buy clothes? Yeah, well, we usually buy clothes near the end of the Lunar New Year, right? Okay, and we want to have everything new, including what we wear, right? And I remember when I was a kid, one particular Chinese New Year, my uncle and aunt, first uncle, first aunt, they bought a suit for my fourth brother, the one above me. I'm number five in the family. When I learned about it, I was envious of my brother, and I was jealous of him. And so I bugged and nagged my uncle and aunt to get me one too, right? Now, for them to get me one, they really had to spend 20, 30 Hong Kong dollars at the time. Now you say, $20, $30 is nothing. But in those days, it's a lot of money. You may not know, as I was growing up, to get a red packet lycée, right? You know how much money is in the lycée? Maybe only 5 cents. Maybe only 10 cents, a dime, a nickel. Now that's how people handed out lycée, red packets in those days. So you can imagine, $20, $30 is a lot of money, right? And my uncle and aunt are by no means rich, and so they didn't really want to, but then I kept nagging them and bugging them, and so eventually they gave me and they bought me a suit for about $20, $30. That's a lot of money. Now, that was the one and only suit I ever wore from that time on to the time I came out, I graduated from university and started working. I never wore a suit before then and during that time. Now, in that particular Chinese New Year, I looked very smart with that suit on, Really, I wish I could have that picture to show you. But as I look back now, yeah, sure, I might look very smart on the outside, but deep inside, I was full of greed. I was full of jealousy. I was full of, that kind of, competition. I want to compete with my brother. And I was full of this kind of myself. As a matter of fact, not just older people, not just younger people, all of us are capable of this kind of attitude or other kinds of attitude. And so we really need the Holy Spirit to have mercy on us, to help us, to reflect on our lives from time to time, so that we can truly live a life worthy of our calling in Jesus Christ. And I thought of this, these two Bible verses in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, where the psalmist, King David. King David said, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And may these two verses guide me and guide you in everyday life living for Jesus. Now, the church theme for this year is deep change from the inside out. Please hang on a second, all right? Let me get this right. All right. Thank you. Yeah, once again, the theme for our church life this year is deep change from the inside out. The theme verse is taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, and I invite you to read it, all right? It's part of the verse of verse 9, okay? Please join me. "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator, Now we are new creations in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we really need to and should live out this new image in Christ in our thought, in our speech, in our action, so that everything we do, everything we say, everything we think will be more and more like Jesus Christ. And we should really make an effort to deepen our knowledge of Christ, to really deepen our understanding of Christ, so that we can truly understand what he wants us to do, so that we can truly love what he loves, so that we can truly detest what he detests. In every way, we can please him and glorify him. And so this is my prayer for you in this new year, for you and for myself, that we can truly, by the grace of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to build up this intimate relationship with God, being renewed every day, being able to go deeper and deeper into this relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, we can get to know each other better. We can get to know each other in a much deeper way. And we can enjoy this unity, this harmony in living out this Christian living here at the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. And together we can join hands in worshiping God, in serving God, in ministering to one another, and we can join hands in declaring, in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, exalting him and glorifying God. And so in the coming 3 months, we are going to spend some time studying the book of Colossians. We pray that the Spirit of truth will guide us into his truth, so that we can truly experience this deep change from the inside out, so that we can truly experience the reality, the truth of this verse, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now let me briefly introduce to you the book of Colossians. During the Roman Empire, Colossae was once a commercial and military place. It was a very important place. But in AD 20 and afterwards, the city became very desolate. It was no longer an important city. It was a very small place. And the commercial status, you know, the city being an important port, that status was taken over by Laodicea, which is not very far from Colossae. The Apostle Paul never been to the city. According to Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, it was Epaphras who founded the church. And in this Colossian church, there are two people we heard of and we even study. And those two people are Philemon in one of the New Testament books. It is named after him. And also his servant, Onesimus. Onesimus was once his servant, and somehow he committed a crime, and he escaped to Rome, and there Paul preached the gospel to him, and he was converted, and so he came back to his master. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians in around 62-63 AD, when he was being imprisoned in Rome. And this letter was carried back to Colossae by Tychicus and Onesimus from Rome to Colossae. Together with the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, and the book of Philemon, altogether these four letters or these four books are known as prison letters, prison books. And part of Colossians content is similar to the content of the book of Ephesians. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Colossian Christians, because when Epaphras was visiting him in Rome, he heard the report, the good things about the Colossian church. But at the same time, he heard about the heresy that was that has been infiltrating the church. At that time, there were false teachers preaching, spreading idolatry worship, propagating Greek philosophy, and mixing it up with Judaism. So it's a syncretic kind of religion. All their teaching really truly attacked the fundamental belief of Christianity. That is, they deny that God was the true God, Jesus Christ was the true God, Jesus Christ was the true Savior. And they insisted that if people really had to know God, they must, go through a certain kind of process. They must possess special and secret knowledge. And also they need to observe circumcision, they need to observe certain festival days and certain laws regarding eating and drinking and all that. People needed to do all this before they could be saved. And so the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to refute them, to really point them out. And in between, Paul wanted the people to know that Jesus Christ is the one and only true God. Jesus Christ is the one and only mediator between God and man. Now, this morning I've chosen chapter 1, verses 9 to 14 to study with you. At the beginning of verse 9, if you follow your book in your own Bible, in chapter 1, verse 9, at the beginning, the Apostle Paul says, "For this reason," this shows that this portion of the Bible is connected to the previous one. In verses 3 to 8, the Apostle Paul is saying a prayer, a thanksgiving prayer for the Colossian Christians because of the report he heard from Epaphras. Ever since the Colossian Christians became saved in Jesus Christ, they stood firm in their faith in the Lord. They share their love with one another, and they hold on to their faith, their hope in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And because of all this, faith, hope, and love, the Apostle Paul prayed for them, giving thanks to God for them. And not only that, starting in verse 9, the Apostle Paul said he would continue to pray for them. Now, Paul's prayer, the content of his prayer, really helps us to pay attention to what it would take for us to have deep change from the inside out. First of all, the Apostle Paul prays like this. In verse 9, he prays that the Colossian Christians will be filled with the knowledge of God's will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. Before I became a Christian, I was my own master. I could do whatever I wanted to do. But after I became a Christian, I am no longer my own master. Jesus Christ is my master. And so I need to obey him. In order to obey him, then I need to understand his will for me. And I don't rely on my own understanding, my own ability to know God's will. I really have to rely on the Holy Spirit, who gives me wisdom, who gives me discernment, who gives me understanding. Now, God's will can be categorized into three groups. The first is, the will of God that governs the universe. And then the moral will. And then the individual will for individuals like you and me. Now, this morning, I want to talk a bit about the moral view, the moral will and the individual will. Now, every one of us should really know God's moral will. Because If we want to live out this new life in Christ, if we really want to do what God wants us to do and stop doing what God doesn't want us to do, we really have to know this moral will of God. To know this will, the best way is to study the Bible, Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, and all the teachings regarding Christian conduct in the New Testament contain God's moral will for Christians like you and me. Besides, we should also know God's individual will for you and for me. God has a plan for you and I, and we need to have this intimate relationship with God to keep a close walk with the Lord before we can discern, before we can know what God's individual will for us is. Now, we need to have this regular study of the Bible, regular prayer time to really understand what God has in store for us. You know, God is just like our lover, right? Like our best friend, like lovers. If they don't talk to each other, that means there's trouble. If we are best friends, but we don't communicate with one another, that means there is trouble. Now, God is never like that. God is more than willing to tell us what he has in store for us in life. Through studying the Bible, through reading, through praying, God will show us his will. And sometimes when we talk to people, brothers and sisters, when we talk to the pastors, we will learn about God's will too. And so we really need to develop this intimate relationship with God. Now, during the winter conference, I was so happy to have been able to reconnect with a friend whom I haven't seen for more than 30 years. He came from Edmonton. At the time, we were students at the University of Alberta. He's CBC, Canadian-born Chinese, and I was an international student then. Now, he reminded me that it was I who brought him to church, and there he became a Christian, and he served as a church leader. He got to know his wife in church. They got married, and all, together they have four children. They are a godly family. Both he and his wife are professionals. He's a medical doctor. His wife is a pharmacist. They were really enjoying their good life in Edmonton, serving the Lord wholeheartedly. And then, one day, when they were doing their devotion, they sensed that God was calling them into full-time ministry. They were not quite sure, and so they prayed urgently, and they consulted their pastor and talked to brothers and sisters who knew them well and asked them to pray for them. And after some time, God confirmed to them that, sure, God was calling them into full-time ministry. And so they no longer doubted what God wanted them to do. And together they went for seminary training. And today they are serving God together amongst the EM congregation in a Chinese church, ministering to people like you, the next generation. The Apostle Paul prayed that we should not only know the word or the will of God, but we should really know it well. Why? Because at the time in the church of Colossae, heresy was rampant. And if the people did not know God's will well, if the people did not get to know God's plan for them, then they would be really misled, and they would be in deep trouble. You know, the heresy really focused on knowledge, focused on wisdom. And so that's why Paul said, you guys better get to know what God's will is. You guys better have a full understanding of what God's will is so that you won't be misled. And so today it is for us. We need to know what God's will is for us, the moral will and also the individual will that he has for you and for me. Now, why did the Apostle Paul pray for the Colossian Christians in this manner? Well, because in verse 10, 1, he wants them to live a life worthy of the Lord. 2, he wants them to please God in every way. To live a life worthy of the Lord is similar to another verse in the book of Ephesians. To live a life worthy of the calling you have received. These two verses, worthy of the Lord, worthy of the calling, they work in tandem, side by side. God really wants his people to know that to know his will is closely related to living out his will. And so, if we truly claim that we have the faith, we should really live it out. These two, faith and action, are not separated. And so whatever faith we have will produce whatever action we have. And whatever action we have will show that our faith is true or our faith is false. It's just like what Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 7. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Now, in the Winter Conference, the Cantonese speaker, Dr. David Powell, said, in the book of Revelation, there are three places, chapter 19, 21, 22, that mention that God is faithful and true. And then he challenged us. If God is faithful and true, then is our life, is our living, is our action, thought, speech, everything like that of God? Or is our life full of lies? You know, on the one hand, we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. On the other hand, we don't really live like it. You know, we talk, but we don't walk. So, Dr. David Powell challenged us, are we a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of Christians who lie all the time? Our action and our faith don't correspond to each other. Now, if we know God's will for us, then we'll be able to live a life worthy of the Lord. Not only that, we'll be able to please the Lord in the second part of verse 10. Now, Paul says there are two ways in which we can please the Lord. And that is bearing fruit in every good work. And the second way is growing in the knowledge of God. Now, how can our lives bear fruit? Well, we have to mature, right? A mature life always bears fruit. An immature life can never bear fruit. And when we bear fruit, that means we'll be ready to reproduce. We'll be able to help others to come to know Christ. Now, once Jesus Christ walked along and saw a fig tree in a distance, and you know, there was leaf in the tree. And so he thought, okay, I could find some fig and eat it, right? But then he couldn't find it. He couldn't find it. Now, normally, when fig trees have leaves, that means the fruit will grow along together with the leaves. But in that case, that fig tree did not bear any fruit. It just had the looks, but it didn't really have the substance. And it really disappointed our Lord Jesus. Now, I wonder if our Christian life is like that. You know, we may have to look, but we don't have the substance. Does our life disappoint our Lord? Now, another way in which we can please the Lord is we grow in the knowledge of God. This means that this is something we should do in our everyday life. In fact, this should be our highest goal in life here on earth. You know, whether we come to church for a Sunday worship service, whether we join fellowship meetings, whether we go to Sunday school, whether we have small groups, whether we do things, whatever. All these things should really help us to come to know the Lord. It's not just, you know, knowing about God, but truly knowing God Himself. And if we truly know the Lord, then we will know His will. Then we will live according to His will. Then our life will be worthy of the Lord. Then our life will be worthy of the calling of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, as we talk about, you know, deep change from the inside out, as we go through our church life in 2015 under this, you know, theme, I hope that we can, first of all, come before God by praying for one another, praying for ourselves, praying for your brothers and sisters, so that all these things that we learn about in church, that we hear about, that we study in the Bible, will really become a daily practice in our everyday lives. As we do this, we are by no means on our own, because the Apostle Paul prays for the Colossians Christians in chapter 1, verse 11. He prays that, you know, the Colossian Christians will be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, so that they may have great endurance and patience. You know, we are not doing it on our own as we go through this deep change from the inside out. You know, God will give us strength, and He will give us strength to face all circumstances. And what we need is endurance and patience. Endurance in the original meaning is, you know, patience facing all kinds of circumstances in life. But because we have this endurance, these circumstances will never destroy our faith in Christ, will never make us wither, will never make us despair. We will turn the table and triumph over these circumstances. And patience, in the original meaning, means patience with people. I know sometimes it's not so easy, right? Yeah, to deal with people whom we don't like, to deal with people who have a lot of, you know, troubles. But as we go through this deep change from the inside out, sometimes we may face people like that. And the Apostle Paul prays for the Colossians Christians that they would have patience dealing with all sorts of people. And so this is what we need today as well. And so that's why I said we are never on our own. You know, God will give us that strength. God will give us that endurance, that patience to cope with all circumstances and in the end come out triumphantly. And in the end, you know, we will be able to bring people closer to us to have a better relationship with us and with God. In verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, as we face all kinds of circumstances with the strength given by God, with the endurance and patience given by God, then we'll be able to have joy and we'll be able to give thanks to the Lord. And so, my prayer for you this morning is, as we put on this new self, as we live out this new self in Jesus Christ, we'll be able to truly know God's will. We'll be able to truly live according to God's will. We'll be able to truly experience this will. realize this will in our life. And whatever we do in thought, in speech, in our action, we'll be able to glorify God. And so as I close, I just want to draw your attention to the content of this prayer once again. Now, I hope that you will really look at this prayer content one more time. You know, throughout this year, you will pray for yourself and pray for me and pray for the whole church. Now, the prayer that Paul has prayed for the Colossian Christians include this: understand God's will, gain spiritual wisdom, please and honor God, bear good fruit, grow in the knowledge of God, be filled with God's strength, have great endurance and patience, stay full of God, Christ's joy, and every day giving thanks to the Lord always. So, brothers and sisters, I invite you to join me in this prayer. As I have begun to pray for you, please pray for me and pray for one another. May this deep change from the inside out become a reality in our church life throughout this year. Amen. So, worship team, please.